Welcome to the Don't Control United's Premier League podcast Euro special. Joining me this evening, as always, is Ben. Ben, how are you?
Yeah, very good, James. Thank you once again for having me. Well, like I said, this tournament is flying by. Round two done already, and even as we're recording, the first two games of round three are in the books as well.
Yeah, it's the weird bit of the tournament now where you've gone from having all the games kicking off at different times and having three games a day to now having four games a day, but the two games kicking off at the same time when you're in the rooms because they don't want any unfair advantages. So for the games this evening, I had the Wales game on the telly and then I had my laptop with the Switzerland-Turkey game.
Do you know what? I reckon one day they're going to change that rule because of TV rights.
They can't because of the competitive. It won't be allowed. It won't be allowed because there can be too much riding on. That's why all. That's why on the last day of the Premier League season,
they all kick off.
The games kick off at the same time.
Yeah.
They'll never change it. Unfortunately, they'll never change it.
But you get that? Don't you get that in the NFL? The division, they all kick off at the same time, don't they? Within the division.
No, not in the NFL. No. There's always a late game. Last,
isn't there? Yes, there is.
They try to do them all, but obviously for TV they have to put one game, they have to put one game on last. So
So
obviously we spoke at the end of the first round of fixtures from the groups. It wasn't the most exciting first round of fixtures. However, I think that changed in the second round of fixtures, apart from one or two exceptions, which we'll come to in a bit. So for the second round of fixtures, so Wednesday, there were the two games in Group A and one of the games from Group B. I think we should start with Wales. I did not see them doing what they've done in this Euros. I'll be honest with you, I know you didn't either.
I need to make a public apology to the people of Wales and apart from Ash.
Who?
and make a public apology to the people of Wales and the Welsh football team, because I seriously didn't see this coming from them with the uncertainty regarding the manager. I think the manager has come in and has done an absolutely incredible job. They've got that. They seem to have that big team spirit from competition. They beat Turkey quite convincingly 2-0, and everyone had Turkey down as dark horses, including us. And they've got the two star men that are very well supported by Dan James, who I think has been fantastic.
He's been really good.
He should definitely try and get a loan move out of United or something to get some more game time, because I think he could be a fantastic young player, but he just doesn't get the minutes, unfortunately, at the moment because of the team he plays for.
We'll talk about United, and unless we sign a particular player that we've been linked with since 1948, Dan James might be playing a bit more this season. Anyway, we'll come to that in the Premier League previews.
I thought they were really good. I think Aaron Ramsey is just... it does hurt me watching him play so well. I think he's been sensational for Wales. Playing for a transfer, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That there is talk that he wants out of Italy. I'll just ask you one question: would you take him back?
No. I love him as a player. He's the wrong age profile for Arsenal. From where we want to go and where we are at the moment, and where we want to go, he's the wrong age profile.
Do you not just need good players?
No, we need a... It's a Premier League question, but we need a full rebuild. I can see him going to a club that are very close to going over the line, and I can see that club potentially being someone like Manchester United. I could see him going to Liverpool.
Well, yeah. Anyway, forget the Premier League. We're 2 months away from that.
Fixtures have come out, though.
Yeah, they have. But yeah, like said, we'll do a Premier League preview closer to the time. So Wales, big surprise, but won that game against Turkey relatively easily. Italy, Switzerland on the same day. Italy just looked really good again.
One of the goals of the competition, I think, from Locatelli.
Yeah,
he looks a fine player, and I don't think he'll. Is he Sassuolo or something? I don't think he'll be playing. There's already talks of Juve coming in.
Yeah.
For him, and yeah.
Well, they're just very un-Italian going forward. At the back, they're still very Italian, but going forward, they're quick, incisive.
Yeah. Yeah, and today when they played against Wales, that's just finished before we start recording, they look very, very good going forward as well. I just thought Wales was superb defending. But yeah, they look fantastic going forward.
Yeah.
So they are my standout team so far.
Italy, yeah, Italy by far have been the best team so far, by far. The other game on Wednesday in Group B was Finland 0, Russia 1. Not really a surprise that Russia won that game, I don't think.
No.
It wasn't the greatest game. I mean, it was a 2 o'clock kickoff here in the afternoon on a weekday, so people were at work. I had it on in the background. Even I think the game was on the BBC. Usually the BBC do 45 minutes or an hour's worth of preview for games. They did 15 minutes for that game, so that tells you all you need to know. But obviously Finland, with winning their first game, are still in with a chance of getting through.
Yeah.
Now they've got a really tough game.
Yeah, I don't think they will.
They're playing Belgium next, but you know, all four teams in that group can still go through. And yeah, so it's a tight group. I mean, usually you'd expect Belgium to maybe rest players for that last game, but they might not.
Yeah, I don't think that there's not many teams that can rest players going into the last game. What? To be fair, I am against these third place teams making the making the knockouts. But I tell you what, it makes sure there's not many dead rubbers in the last game.
No, that's definitely something it does. Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so Thursday, we'll start with the Denmark Belgium game. I thought in the first half Denmark was sensational.
Yeah, I do as well. I thought they were fantastic.
They should have been 3-0 up at half time in that game.
What cost this was them a was really fun having, game.
Was not having a centre forward.
Yeah.
That's what cost
they had
them.
20, they had 21 shots on goal and only 5 on target. Mm. Belgium had 6 and 5 on target.
Yeah.
You just look at how efficient they were, Belgium. And unfortunately, efficiency like that is what's going to make you you've got to take your chances. It makes you win games.
Exactly. I mean, look, it helps when a team can bring on Kevin De Bruyne at halftime.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
He set up the first goal with a really nice piece of skill in the penalty area. And then I know you said Locatelli's goal was good on for the Italy game, but his goal, De Bruyne's goal on Thursday against Denmark is my favourite goal of the tournament so far. The passing and the movement and then the shot from outside the box with his left foot was just really, really good. And Belgium, without setting the world alight, they slowly seem to be rounding into.
Yeah, they did very well against Russia. And I imagine that was a difficult game to play against Denmark, especially after the whole Eriksen stuff.
Yeah.
So I think they were just happy they got through that and got the 3 points and moving on.
Yeah, I fully expect Belgium to win the group, beat Finland tomorrow and win the group and end up topping the group in that one.
I wouldn't be surprised seeing Denmark beat Russia though and go through as a third place team.
Yeah, there is a chance that there is a chance. Well, if Denmark beat Russia, then they might go through in second. Depends on goal difference.
Yeah,
on goal difference.
Like I say, it's wide open.
It is. So the other games on Thursday were in Group C, which was Ukraine against Macedonia, which.
That was a fun game.
It was a fun game to watch, but as expected, it was a Ukraine. It was a Ukraine win.
Yeah, Yarmolenko getting another goal. He looks. I was going to mention this a little bit later, but there's some players that look completely different from their international side than they do playing for their Premier League team.
Yeah,
and Yarmolenko is one of those because you don't really see much of him at West Ham. I think that is partly down to do to injury as well. But for Ukraine, you get vibes of Shevchenko off him.
Yeah, he just scores a lot of goals for them. He scores a lot of goals for them. So Ukraine.
But that game took place in Bucharest, and that is my favourite place to watch games this Euro so far, just because of the full stadium.
You mean Budapest?
Yeah, it's not Budapest. Yeah, sorry. Budapest. I do apologise.
Yeah, you meant it's close. They both begin with B and end in Est, I guess.
Yeah, they're both in Eastern Europe, so.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Old Soviet country.
Yeah. Well, Hungary isn't an old Soviet country, and neither is Romania.
East of Germany, aren't they? So.
Right, your geography is not your strong point, Ben, clearly. Nope. And then the final game in Group C on Thursday was the Netherlands 2, Austria 0. Netherlands just looked solid. They didn't look like they were going to get beat, but they're not going to set the world alight. And I think as soon as they come up against a fairly decent team, they'll be taken apart a bit.
I think Austria very toothless up front. Wasn't Arnautovic banned for this game?
He was, yeah.
And so that's their pretty much main threat gone. When a good attack comes up against Holland, that's when I'm a little bit worried for them.
Yeah, because without Van Dijk there, I mean, I know they've got De Ligt and they've got
Daley Blind
and the other guy, and I can't remember what his name is, De Roon, I think. You know, De Vrij.
He plays for Lazio.
That's the one, yeah. So
Inter Milan, I think.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be strong enough against a better team to go through.
And their fullback, I know they're playing the three at the back, and then they've got the fullback. So Denzel Dumfries is playing, first of all, what a name, Denzel Dumfries. Like, that is by far one of the best names I've heard. But he's very good going forward. You can tell he's already got two goals in this competition. But I just don't think he's that good at defending.
No, I agree. That's what I said. I think the Dutch, when they come up against a decent team, they're going to be found out a bit, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we come to Friday. We're only going to talk about two of the games to begin with. Then we're going to go to Saturday, and then we're going to come back to Friday. First game on Friday was Sweden versus Slovakia. Now, we all know in the first game, Sweden defended brilliantly against Spain to keep them out, and maybe could have or should have won that game. Chances, the clear chances that they had. Again, this group is tight now. Sweden are top on 4 points.
Four, yeah.
Spain are on two. Slovakia are on three. Sorry.
Yeah, Spain
are on two, and Poland are on one. So again, you've got a scenario where all three teams can qualify. But Sweden have just got a habit of churning out the results when they need it to get out of group stages in tournaments.
Yeah, and every game I watch of Sweden, I'm falling more in love with Alexander Isak.
He had a good game.
His touch to put in Forsberg to win the penalty was... Kid's only 21 as well.
Yeah, and there was that chance where he picked the ball up on the halfway line and did a bit of a dribble, didn't he? And I don't know whether the keeper saved it or he hit the post. But he's looking more and more impressive
He's got a 60 million euro release clause in his contract.
Yeah, I saw him play against United in the Europa League.
Didn't look
that good at all. But then I don't know whether that might have been because he was up against Lindelof, and Lindelof knows him from Sweden.
Well, I don't know that, because I've watched, because I'm a bit of a geek, and when Arsenal were signing Martin Odegaard, I went and watched a load of Martin Odegaard tape when he was at Sociedad. And then that's when I discovered Isak, watching that tape, and I was like, Jesus Christ, this guy looks a handful and can finish. And I went and looked at him a little bit further, and I found out he was only like 19-20, and I was like, bloody hell. Yes. Well, he came from Borussia Dortmund to Real Sociedad, and I believe Dortmund actually have a buyback option in his contract. So don't be surprised if Haaland moves on. Dortmund will use the buyback option, or they might just use the buyback option and flog him for more than the 60 million release clause. You just don't know.
Yep, either or. He's definitely one to keep an eye on, though, especially at that young age.
Yeah.
Second game on Friday was in Group D, Croatia-Czech Republic game. It finished 1-1. Not really much to say about the game, to be honest. The penalty that the Czech Republic got was...
dubious.
Yeah, dubious, I would say. I mean, he did elbow him in the face, but that happens all the time in the penalty area, and I don't think Lovren intentionally elbowed him. It was just he was using his arms as leverage and caught him. But yeah, so one all in that game. Right, we'll skip over the late game on Friday, and we'll come back to that one at the end because it's going to be a bit of a conversation about that one. And then on to Saturday, which I think has been the best day of games. All three games
were
good on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we started off with Hungary versus France. Now, I expected France to steamroll Hungary, to be honest.
But yes, I did, but then I it's in Budapest. See, got it right that time.
Yeah, you got it right this time, yeah.
In a full stadium of Hungary fans.
Yeah.
Where these players haven't played in front of fans for a long time. And I can see the occasion got to France. The occasion got to France. And there is, and you know, I know we're going to have a discussion about managers and futures and stuff like that later on. But there's a lot of pressure now on Deschamps' building. And there has been, you know, been reading stuff online and stuff, and people in France aren't happy with how they are setting up now.
Would that be playing two holding midfielders against a team of inferior opponents by any chance?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, that's interesting.
Shouldn't be doing it.
Okay.
And
France won the World Cup playing two holding midfielders though.
Yeah, but look who they're playing against the World Cup.
Yeah, they played Croatia, they played Belgium. Better teams than Hungary.
Good teams.
Better teams than Hungary.
Yeah, that's why you play maybe your two holding midfielders. I don't think you'd go against someone like Hungary and play the two holding midfielders. You go and play a holding midfielder with a box to box midfielder.
We're gonna have this conversation fully in a minute, but like England, the two midfield players are not two holding midfield players in that system. One's a holder, one's a
the annoying thing is when they play their club football, both of them play as holding midfielders.
Yeah.
You can't ask for one of them to turn around.
Pogba doesn't play as a holding midfielder for France, for United. Pogba does not play as a holding midfielder for France.
But he plays deeper, doesn't he?
He's been playing off the left as an attacker towards the end of the season. But look,
Pogba's a player that, he looks a different player for France.
Because he's surrounded by better players, mate. That's what it is.
I sit there watching him, and I think it was the ball. I think it was the first game. That ball he. Who did they play first? Was it Germany game? That ball he put in for
the goal.
I can't remember who it was now for the goal. And holy shit! I was like, I just don't see Pogba do that at Man United.
He does it once every five games. But United players that he's passing to aren't as good as the French players that he's passing to.
Yeah.
Simple as that. I mean, look, France are going to be okay.
They're going to be fine. They've got too much talent. There is a bit of squabbling going on as before this tournament. I don't know if that's still resting on behind closed doors.
Mbappe, Benzema thing.
Yeah. What a surprise, Benzema comes in and upsets the camp. That was a very weird decision by Deschamps. Had a very happy, settled camp, and then he brought Benzema back in, who obviously caused a lot of controversy a couple of years ago within the French team. I don't think there's many players left from that French... It was the 2014 World Cup, wasn't it? Around about then, it was the last time he played. So I don't think there's many French players actually left in the squad from that. I think Giroud's left, I think Lloris has left. I think Raphael Varane. I don't think there's many more... But I don't think there's many more. And obviously, that was quite a big story when it happened, the whole incident with him and Valbuena, the blackmail story. So
yeah.
I don't know if many people know about this story, but what was it? Valbuena did a sex tape or something.
Yeah.
And then Benzema had... Got hold of a copy and basically blackmailed him for, was it money or...
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, blackmail. Well, not, a horrible piece ben, of work,
Benzema though. Didn't blackmail him directly, but a friend of Benzema's did. But Benzema knew about it. Yeah.
So they both basically got banned from the national team.
Yeah.
Valbuena's got old and won't ever, you know, chance to play for the national team again because he's finishing out his career in Greece. And he's just basically, yeah, Deschamps, I don't know why, had the perfect system the way he was playing, decided to call up Benzema, and it might have upset the camp a little bit. Yeah. I think it has upset the camp a little bit. And that could be their downfall.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, look, we'll talk about it now, Portugal, Germany. Having watched that game, France could tear Portugal a new one.
But depends how conservative they are.
Oh, it does. I mean, that Portugal-Germany game has been the best game of the tournament so far. That was really, really good. I don't know what Germany did in between the two games they've played so far.
So as we were sitting here in the last podcast saying toothless Germany, no goal scorers, they're going to put four in. What I like about Germany is on that game, they absolutely overloaded the wide areas. And you know, they caused chaos in the box, and Portugal scored two own goals. You know, it's just masterful, really. Let's be honest. Masterful.
Didn't all of the goals come from square balls?
Yeah.
Wide, you know, like tap-in-y type.
It's obviously something they saw
with the wing backs
training and it exploited. Yeah. And talk about great goals. The Gosen header for me, I love a goal like that. That was such a nice, good great headed
cross.
Goal.
Great cross.
Great cross. Great leap.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the best header in the tournament was scored in the late game yesterday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the unfortunate one, did you see Renato Sanchez's shot that hit the post at 4-2 with about 10 minutes to go? Oh my God, it nearly snapped the post in half. If that would have gone in, that would have been goal in the tournament. Absolutely no doubt whatsoever. But, you know, so Germany have kind of come into form, and they're playing Hungary next. Now, it's not going to be easy, but Germany could end up finishing with 6 points, which means if France and Portugal draw, Germany would win the group and France would come second. And do you know what that would mean?
We play France.
If England win the group,
they
end up playing France in the second round.
Going to be very
which is why I think we probably want France to win against Portugal, because I'd rather play Germany than France.
Yeah, I think so.
If we're going to play one of them, I'd rather play.
I want to play Portugal.
I just can't see Portugal finishing second now.
No,
I can't, which is a bit of a shame. But that's a very interesting group. And their games are the Wednesday evening games,
day after ours.
That's going to be well worth watching those games, I think. And then the final game yesterday, again, another really good, entertaining game, I think, was Spain against Poland. Spain won, Poland won. I think Spain are in trouble.
Spain are the most boring team to watch in this competition.
Yeah.
They are boring as anything.
There's no excitement, is there?
This is how they used to beat teams. They used to... I was never a big fan of the 2008-2010 World Cup winning and European Championship winning Spain team. I was never a big fan of them because they bored me to death. They bored teams to death. Played some great football when they pulled it off, but they only pulled off two or three moves a game. The rest of it, they were just passing round. And it was just boring.
Give me boring two European Championship wins and a World Cup, mate. Every day.
100%. If I was Spanish, I would have been loving it. But as not a non-Spanish fan watching that, and I was like, Jesus Christ, yeah. I much rather watch this German team.
It's like watching Barcelona without Messi.
Yes.
Messi makes games exciting because of what he can do, whereas Spain don't have that ability.
Yeah.
They're not very good defensively. They haven't got anybody who can score. Morata missed sitter after sitter. I know he scored, but he missed sitter after sitter. They missed a penalty. Why the person who missed the penalty couldn't have done that in the Europa League final, I don't know. But that's neither here nor there.
That's personal for you, that is.
It is. But great header from Lewandowski for the Poland goal.
Yeah.
He doesn't usually show up for Poland in tournaments, and he never really scored.
That's his third goal.
Header.
Yeah.
It was a great header. And, you know, they are in a position now where, I mean, this group, we said it before, Sweden are on 4, Slovakia are on 3, Spain on 2, Poland on 1. Spain, Slovakia, it was a tough game to call, that, mate. It really is. And then you've got Poland, Sweden. So Spain need to win, because 3 points might not be enough to get you a best third place team.
Yeah, I get that. I would rather. Yeah, I'd love to see Spain go out.
Put it this way: England, should Spain win the group, which is still possible, I guess, England could likely play Spain in the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't be against England playing Spain at the moment. I really wouldn't.
I'll take that all day long.
And on that note, we've saved the best till last. Friday night, the whole nation, the whole of the United Kingdom, well, apart from Ireland, because they're not in the tournament.
And Wales.
Well, Wales may have watched it just as a passing interest. We're watching what can quite possibly be described as a total
shambles
of 90 minutes.
Absolute shambles of a performance. Hats off to Scotland. They were absolutely incredible. The passion, like, this is what
I wouldn't say they were incredible.
No, I thought they were incredible.
No,
I thought they were fantastic.
They were just as culpable for the poor game as England were.
What else? Then you can't expect Scotland to go out there and try and play England off the park. They had a game plan.
No, they did. But I wouldn't say they were brilliant.
They executed their game plan to perfection without scoring the goal. They were executed their game plan to perfection. I was sitting there last 10 minutes ago. Do you know what? If Scotland nick this, then truly hats off to them. Truly hats off to them. Because it was great what they did. They defended really well. A guy that plays for Motherwell had Raheem Sterling in his pocket. England just resorted to the boring horseshoe of death with no penetration whatsoever. This has stuff to do with the lineup, I think, as well, to help that. And I predicted potentially on the preview show that England could be one of my most disappointing teams in the competition, and I think Turkey will take that. But England so far, it's just, apart from the opening 20 minutes against Croatia, oh Jesus Christ, it's bored me.
Right. So, question. England have played 2 games, 1-1 draw, 1-1, got 4 points. Switch the results around. 0-0 draw against Croatia, 1-0 win against Scotland.
Yeah, I get your point there, and I did have us not topping the group, didn't I? In our prediction.
So you did. I think we're still going to top the group, but
you know. I don't know. So I'm not actually too surprised about it. I thought Croatia would be a bit better than they are this competition.
If you remember, I said they wouldn't be.
You are correct on that. I think if the tournament didn't get delayed by a year, they might have been a little bit better. But yeah,
let's get down to it then. So that John Stones free header goes in the 5th minute. That's a completely different game.
I think so, because I think it brings Scotland out, because Scotland know they had to get back into it, and it would leave more holes.
So that was a shocking miss.
That's an awful miss.
It's a free header. So anyway, but he didn't score, so he couldn't.
No.
So now there's lots of debate about the formation that he plays, the 4-2-3-1. I don't necessarily think the formation is the wrong one. I do wonder whether the players that are playing in the positions they are the wrong ones, if that makes sense.
There's a sackable offence for Gareth Southgate in my mind.
Well, what's he done?
And that sackable offence is how he's not given a single minute to Jadon Sancho in this competition so far.
Yeah, well, we don't know the reason why. I suspect he will start on Tuesday.
Potentially. I think he needs to start.
I think the problem we've got is Harry Kane has been anonymous. I don't think he's fit. at all. But England's success recently has come from having two quick players around
either side.
Kane. But for some reason, we're playing Sterling, who isn't that quick. He's quick, but he's not that quick. And Phil Foden, who isn't quick.
And Foden's a maverick for me, and he can produce a brilliance out of nothing. And for me, that is why he should start.
But I'd play him in the number 10, and I'd have Pace either side of Harry Kane.
Exactly what I... Well, I would potentially... So this is what I would do.
Rashford, Sancho. No,
not Marcus Rashford.
Well, who then? Who else is quick that can play on the left? And don't say Grealish, because he ain't quick.
I know that. But I would potentially... So this would be my...
Oh, here we go. Is your Arsenal hat coming?
No. I'm not going to say Bukayo Saka. But he's a very good option there for the left-hand side. I would go... Actually, I was going to say quickly, my man of the match for the day for England was Jordan Pickford. He was sensational.
John Stones. And that's man bad. Of the match. John Stones.
If he might have got it if he scored that header.
Yeah, he was really good, John Stones.
But Jordan Pickford looks like he's actually come in, and there was doubts over him being number one, but he has commanded that shirt.
Yeah, now, for me. No, 100%.
He's been fantastic. But I'd go Pickford. You can have your pick of your fullbacks. I thought Reece James was terrible.
Kyle Walker's got to come back in.
Well, do you know what? I'd probably even put Trippier right back.
Or Trippier.
I'd have Trippier right back, and I'd probably go for Chilwell left back. But I wouldn't be against Shaw, to be fair.
Are you playing Maguire?
This is the problem. I don't know how fit Maguire is. I think he'll play. I hope so, because if he's fit, he's in.
Yeah.
And then Stones next to him. And then you can't... I know it worked against Croatia, and it's, we're talking about two holding midfielders. Play a natural eight. Don't try and force Phillips into an eight role. Play a natural eight. I think Rice should be dropped after the Scotland game.
So does Phillips play as the holder then, or do you bring Jordan Henderson in?
Phillips plays as the holder like he does for Leeds.
Okay.
And then you have a natural box-to-box.
So you're going to say Bellingham beyond, now, aren't you?
Yes, that run. And the excuse that Southgate gave about Bellingham and Sancho not playing because they haven't got big tournament experience is a load of shit. These guys have just been playing in the Champions League. Sancho's played multiple years in the Champions League now. You don't get higher competition than the Champions League. You've got bloody Scotland defender who plays for Motherwell playing in at the back for Scotland. Does he have big competition experience? No. How do you get big competition?
Maybe he's not 17
by getting the minutes.
But he's not 17 now.
If you're old enough, you're good. If you're good enough, you're old enough.
Yeah,
I'm crying out for Bellingham. He's got the physical presence in there as well. 6'1", 6'2".
I don't disagree, but I just don't see Southgate playing
because he's too Bellingham. Conservative.
I just don't see him playing starting Bellingham as a 17-year-old. I just can't see it. I'll be pleasantly surprised if he does.
He's got to.
Okay, so you're saying Bellingham and Phillips then as your two,
yeah,
as your two midfielders. So you're talking a 17-year-old with 1 year of Bundesliga, and so in fact, what you're saying is
that a year of championship?
Hang on. Your two starting midfielders in a must-win England tournament game are two players who less than 12 months ago were both playing in the championship.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine.
The championship's a good standard of competition.
Your call, mate. Your call.
There's a lot of championship players at this Euros.
Your
call. A lot of championship players. Then I'm going for Phil Foden, number 10.
Yeah.
I think he's an absolute maverick. You just need to have him on the pitch because he can just produce moments of brilliance. Mason Mount's a good player, but that's where far I'll go with Mason Mount. Good player.
Yeah.
I'm having Sancho on the right.
Yeah. You're going to keep Sterling on the left?
Potentially, because his record for England recently, goal scoring, I think his goal scoring record's been very good for England at the moment. But form wise, I think I would maybe put a rocket up his arse and drop him out for this game. Give Saka or Rashford a run out on the left hand side of this game.
Well, if you're going to pick one of them, it'll be Rashford that starts. It won't be Saka.
He probably will pick Rashford, but yeah, I would prefer Saka. But that's just me.
Of course you would, because you're an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, of course you would.
So you're not starting Grealish.
And he can come and... I see what you mean by the pace thing, but look how Kane works with Son at Tottenham.
Yeah. Son's
and
quick.
What the reason he gets... Yeah, and I think can he... I don't know why you're not having that relationship with Sancho. Sancho's scored 15 goals this year and got 12 or 13 assists or something in the Bundesliga. Yeah. That's one of the best leagues in the world. I don't get how he's not played a single minute. And do you know what? Hats off to Gareth Southgate, actually. It's one bit of positive things I will say about Gareth Southgate is he hooked Harry Kane off because he was terrible. Mm. But he just brought the wrong player on instead. You want to be throwing balls into the box against this Scotland team.
That's what Scotland wanted.
Well, you've got three. They've completely crowded the middle. Okay, you can't play through them. You need to get the ball out wide, and you had good deliveries there with Shaw and James, and we know that other players, Grealish, when he came on, he can put a ball in there, and then you want an absolute battering ram like Dominic Calvert-Lewin for that last 15, 20 minutes.
Hmm.
We know how many crosses did we put in the box. They've got a left-back, a very good left-back, and Kieran Tierney playing centre-half for them.
You put your battering ram against him, yeah.
Exactly. He's not 6 foot. He's 5. He's about 5'9", 5'10", Kieran Tierney. Mm. He's not a big lad. And you put it on him. And then you let Calvert-Lewin go in there, be the battering ram. If he doesn't win the first ball, it's going to be chaos. And we saw a little bit of chaos towards the end. And for me, it's just been too many. It's just too conservative for me with the talent we've got. And that's my problem with Gareth Southgate. I want someone to release the handbrake and let this team play. He's too worried and he thinks about it. He overthinks things too much, in my opinion.
Do you think he's concerned because he doesn't have Harry Maguire back there, though? Do you think that's part of his thinking?
No. I think he's been conservative ever since that 2018 World Cup.
How can you say that after the qualifying England did for this tournament where they were scoring five goals every game? That's not being... They've beaten Spain. They've beaten Spain. They've beaten Belgium. They've beaten Germany. With Southgate as manager, with these players. This is what I don't get. Tournament football is very, very different. England always starts slowly. Now, if they play crap and are the same and squeak through against the Czech Republic on Tuesday, then there's a conversation to be had. But we've got four points. We haven't conceded a goal. Solid at the back. Yes, we could have scored more. Yes, we should have scored more. But at the moment, it's not worth all of the panic and the knee-jerk reactions that we're getting over two group games. That's my opinion. Like I said, doesn't work against the Czech Republic, then there's time to have that conversation. But not yet.
Is there a round that if we can't get past the round of 16, would you pull the trigger and not waste this generational talent?
No, he's got a contract until after the next World Cup, mate. He's not going anywhere.
Bonkers. Why would you give someone a contract for future major tournaments? A contract for an international job should be rolling after every competition you review it. It shouldn't be that long of a contract. The FA jumped on this because, let's be honest, they stumbled into Gareth Southgate because of the Sam Allardyce situation.
Yeah, thank God we did.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Sam was never my choice for England manager. But they stumbled in that, and he had a successful 2018 World Cup. Once we've discussed this already, how
we wouldn't have even got out of the group stage if Sam Allardyce was our manager in the World Cup in 2018, mate. I'm telling you.
I'm not saying we would have won the World Cup. I'm not backing Sam Allardyce here, but I don't know. I just really
the post mortem is to be held. When the tournament for England is finished.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
That's when this conversation needs to be had properly.
I just felt so frustrated.
Yeah, it was frustrating.
Third lowest ranked team in the competition and we're the second favourites to win this competition. And
that's only because we're playing most of our games at home.
Exactly. So, and you can't... Fair play to Scotland... They came after what looked. I was very, very confident when I saw them play against the Czech Republic. I was like, do you know what? If we go out and have the same start like we did against Scotland, put one past them early, the floodgates will open. And it just, you know, we were tepid, mate. Well, how many shots on target did we have?
Not enough.
Where was the? We've got some of the best attacking talent in the competition. Best playmaking talent in this competition. We couldn't create fuck all. It was awful.
Yeah, no, you're not going to get a disagreement from me, mate. It was not good enough. But I'm holding fire on the knee-jerk reactions, and those conversations need to be had when England's tournament is finished. And at the moment, we don't know when that's going to be. We've got 4 points. We're going to get out of the group. We've got a chance to win the group by winning on Tuesday. Let's see what happens after that and see where we go from.
I think, you know, obviously we're going to have a harder route to the final if we win our group, because of just the way the groups line up and having that group of the second place of that group of death. But
that game's at Wembley. That's the big thing. That's the big thing. That's why we've got to win the group. Otherwise, we've got to go to Copenhagen for the second round.
We're at Wembley against bloody...
But we didn't lose. This is the point I'm trying to make. We don't lose
games at Wembley. Scotland!
But we don't lose games at Wembley, mate. We don't. We don't. And that's...
I think we will, mate, against one of those lot.
Well, look, we'll find out, won't we? Just one more thing I need to say about this game. And this is a plea to whoever decides which network in this country covers England tournament games. Okay? Right? Please, please, please stop putting England games on ITV. Now, I don't know if many people listening to this will know this stat, but since France 98, I've got the comparison of records here. This is a split of games between ITV and the BBC for England tournament games since France 98. Okay? So ITV, we've played 24, won 4, drawn 12, lost 8. And on the BBC, we've played 22, won 15, drawn 3, and lost 4. The last time England won in 90 minutes on ITV, Jude Bellingham was 8 years old.
And now he should be starting in our central field.
Honestly, I've thought for a while there's a curse with games on ITV. Stop putting England games on the ITV. That's it. Stop it.
And who? What network are we playing on? In
ITV. We're playing against ITV. We're playing the Czech Republic against ITV.
Do you know what it would be for the round of 16 if we took the group or not?
I believe that will be the BBC.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it gets... So the second round will be BBC. Quarterfinals will be ITV. Semi-final is BBC. And then the final is both. So there's positivity. Right there. Right, I think that's covered England enough, to be honest. We haven't got long left on the recording, I don't think, so we'd better quickly run through the preview of the final round of games. Now, obviously, we're recording this on Sunday evening. We've had the first round of final games from Group A.
Yeah, first elimination.
Tonight, the first team out of the tournament. So we've had Italy versus Wales, which finished in a 1-0 win for Italy. And then Switzerland versus Turkey was a 3-1 win for Switzerland. So Italy have topped the group with 9 points. Wales came second on 4 points because of a better goal difference. And Switzerland have finished third, not necessarily through yet, which we'll find out when the groups, but probably should be through. And Turkey are the first team to leave the tournament. So, fair play to Italy for going undefeated. But Wales,
not conceding a goal.
Not conceding a goal, no. But Wales have qualified in second place, and they are playing in Amsterdam on Saturday against Finland, likely Finland, Russia or Denmark, which is a winnable game for them, I think.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. So let's quickly preview the final round of fixtures for the rest of the groups then. So tomorrow at 5 o'clock, you've got Macedonia versus Holland and Ukraine versus Austria. Holland are going to win that game.
I think you're going to see Holland, Ukraine go through. I don't think you're going to see a third place team in this group
potentially
go through.
Yeah, Holland and Ukraine are going to go through from that group, I think.
Yeah.
And then the final round of games in Group B, which is Russia versus Denmark and Finland versus Belgium. Now, the Russia-Denmark game is in Copenhagen, so Denmark are going to have home advantage for that one.
I think Denmark will win that or draw.
I think that might be a draw, and I think Belgium will beat Finland. I think that that will mean that Belgium and Russia qualify from that group. So Wales will end up playing Russia.
Very winnable game.
Yeah, no, definitely. 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 So Tuesday, there's only one set of games on Tuesday, and that is Group D. Czech Republic versus England and Croatia versus Scotland.
Two draws.
No, England will win. England will win and Croatia will win. Scotland always mess up at the last, mate. England and... I think England, the Czech Republic and Croatia will qualify from this group. I think you're going to get three teams out of this group.
Yeah, I don't think... I actually don't think England will top the group.
Okay. Well, I think you're wrong.
But we'll Unless see. You see big changes in the starting lineup and a change of mentality.
We'll see. We'll see. And then the final round of group games, which is such a shame because then we've got 2 days without any games, which is really poor. Slovakia versus Spain and Sweden versus Poland.
More Isaac for me. I'm getting excited about that.
Yeah, and I think...
I'm going to watch that game over the Spain-Slovakia game.
I'll do what I did before, watch them both, have them both on. I think Slovakia-Spain will be a draw and I think Sweden will beat Poland. Sweden are going to win that group. And if that's the case, Slovakia will come second and England will play Slovakia in your scenario in the second round.
Yeah. Where will that be? That will be in Copenhagen, isn't it?
Be in Copenhagen, yeah.
It's not bad.
Great city to visit, but hellishly expensive. I went to watch England play there in 2004. England got beat 4-1. Awful, but yeah.
Are they on the green list, Copenhagen?
Don't know. Who knows? They might be today, but they might not be tomorrow.
Ridiculous.
And then the final round of games, and this is the really interesting group for me because this is where I think England's second round opponent is going to come from. It's Germany versus Hungary in Munich and Portugal versus France in Budapest. It's such a shame that that Germany game isn't in Hungary.
Yeah. Where's that Germany game? Munich, did you say?
In Munich, yeah. So Germany are playing all their group games in Munich.
So yeah, it's a German win for me and a France win for me.
Yeah, so France are going to win the group and Germany are going to come second. So in my scenario, England play Germany in the second round at Wembley next Saturday.
Oh, Jesus.
Or is it Sunday? Is it Saturday or Sunday? I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah, all I know is that I am...
If England play Germany at Wembley, it's next Tuesday. It's a week on Tuesday. So England get a full week to prepare for it.
Oh, that'd be so much better.
Just had a look now.
I don't want to play on a Sunday.
But it's Tuesday at 5 o'clock.
So if we come second in the group...
If we come second in the group, we play Monday at 5 o'clock.
Okay, cool. That's happy days.
Yeah. Are you thinking about work there?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's it. We will get together after the... France-Germany games on... No, we won't. We're going to get together on Friday, aren't we? To review the groups and preview the second round games. So
this is where the tournament begins, the round of 16, when this round is done. So
yeah, no, it is. It's when it becomes knockout football and it's a very different...
No disrespect to countries like Austria, North Macedonia and... Hungary and Scotland. We know the business end of the competition is.
Well, look, you're going to end up with England against. You're going to end up with England against France, England against Germany, or England against Portugal. I think.
So. Is there any way that if Scotland win and go through, is there any way we can get Scotland again?
Let's I don't know. Final. I'd have to have a look at it. But mate, the chances of that happening are zero. I'm going to call that straight away. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else to add?
Happy days. England and Gareth Southgate need to pull their finger out their arse. They really should. Just one more thing. The whole thing with Wales, Scotland fans, Irish fans, they're saying there's an arrogance about English fans, shouting it's coming home and stuff like that.
It's just a song.
It's a song, and I just don't think they get we're saying it like in jest. Like we're not being serious about it.
They also remember that We did actually win it once.
Not
we
did Euros, win the World, the World Cup.
Once. We won the World Cup once.
Yeah, not the Euros.
But football was invented in this country, so technically football is coming home if we're going to be literal about it.
Yeah, the final's over here, so. But the it's coming home thing, it's just tongue-in-cheek. It always has been. We were saying that in, you know, the shitty 2012 Euros where we were a dog shitty
song by the Lightning Seeds and Badil and Skinner. It's not important, for crying out loud.
Exactly.
It's not important.
People need to stop getting worked up about it. But no, I'm going to go and enjoy my... No football now for an 8 o'clock kickoff, so I'm going to go and enjoy the US Open golf.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch that, I think, as well. So is that
just
it?
Just seen Drew Brees just walk past the screen.
Oh, nice. So, who?
Yeah. Taysom Hill?
Yeah. All done?
All done.
Okay, so that's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United podcast network, where you only need to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, which I can't wait to get recording again when the season starts, the Dome Patrol Main podcast, the BS and BS Saints podcast, the Pelican Plunge, mine and Ben's Premier League podcast, which we are going to do more of next season, we promise, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tiger's Den with Scott. You can follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK, at BS&B Media, at Taking the Over, and at Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Facebook for live streams. Just search for Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast. You got to hold on. Give, but do it at the right time. You can be slow or fast, but you must get to the line. You